Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure. Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
We spend our whole lives trying to teach kids that lying does not get you anywhere. But I found that lying does get you somewhere.
Gets you from point A to point B.
It gets you some downtime with the kids sometimes, you know?
Well, sometimes you want them to behave.
Yeah, and there's kids don't think the way we do, and the only way sometimes to get them to behave the way you want them to behave is to maybe throw a little white lie out there.
The boogeyman's gonna get you. The boogeyman's gonna get you.
Yeah, my mom used to do that to me. She said when she put me in a bed that if I would try to get out of bed when the lights were off, a monster would grab my legs and pull me underneath.
Oh, wow.
Guess what I didn't want to do? I didn't want to get out of bed, ever, even in the mornings. But it got me to behave and not to be going around the house in the middle of the night.
Hmm.
So I took a page out of my mother's book, and I'm starting to think that maybe I'm a bad father for it.
Okay, what happened?
Kaysen.
You got two kids.
That's
three, almost.
Almost three. I have my almost three-year-old, so he's in the terrible twos/three. And then I have my daughter, who's one.
Right.
Kaysen is at that point where he wants to be rebellious, and he wants to do his own thing when we're at home or when we're out in public, and he doesn't tend to listen to mom or dad very much.
Hmm.
He will listen to Kelly Raspberry if she came over and told him, don't do that, Kaysen.
Of course.
With strangers, he is an angel.
Right,
with teachers, anybody but us,
right,
he behaves like an angel. So I decided that I'm going to create the bad boy monsters.
The bad boy monster. Bad boy, what
yeah,
you going to
the
do?
The bad boy monsters, Big Al Mac, are the ones that will come pick you up when you're not listening to daddy. I have a designated area in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it in the corner of my backyard, Kelly. There's some bark. We used to have a tree there, but it died. So we took the tree out.
Okay.
A little tiny tree. And that is now the landing pad for the bad boy monsters.
Oh.
So whenever Kaysen's being bad, I will pick him up and I will say, all right, Kaysen, you're being a bad boy. And I just got a call from the bad boy monsters and they're en route.
You're terrifying him.
I know, Kelly. I feel so bad when I do this. So when I pick him up, he goes, where am I going? And I said, you're going with the bad boy monsters. I gave you a chance and you're not listening to me. So I will take him outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's tougher now that it's getting cold. I can't do that. I got to get a bad boy. I got to get a bad boy monster launch pad inside the house.
Corner.
Yeah. So I go outside and I will put him down on the pad and he's staring at me and he goes, Papa, where am I going, Papa? And I said, I don't know. I don't know where the bad boy monsters take you. I know, I'm bad.
Yeah, but does it work?
Does it work?
Jenna, does it ever? And he goes, Papa, I'll stop, Papa. And I said, you'll be a good boy? Because I'll call him right now. I'll tell him to go back to Monsterland.
Look up in the sky. You see that?
Oh, here they go. The best thing is I live by an airport, so there's airplanes always swinging by my house, just chilling. Just like, there's the bad boy monster, Jeff. And so he'll be like, okay, Papa, okay. And I'll pick him up, and he kisses me, and he goes, I'm sorry, Papa. And I said, all right, buddy, I love you.
Oh, you know what?
You know, I'm glad you made that choice.
Just to kind of keep him in check, next time a helicopter is over your neighborhood looking for bad guys, just go out there and say, you know what? Somebody else must be bad in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because there's a bad boy helicopter right there.
But
I'll do it while he's being good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, he's starting to realize, because even when he's being good, he'll tell me, he'll go, Papa, I'm good. And I said, yeah, you are. And he goes, no bad boy monsters. And I said, no. So he understands. And
what happened to just to say Santa Claus is watching
that
you?
That wasn't working.
That didn't work?
He tried to take out Santa Claus the other day. Homeboy is not scared of Santa Claus.
He's terrified of monsters.
He's scared of the bad boy monster.
JC, you don't need to feel bad about the bad monster lie, because Lori wrote us on Facebook and said that her mom used something kind of similar to what you do. Her mom used to drive all the kids by the shady part of town, and she would point out the scariest house. And she told her kids that's where the whiners live. It's where parents took their kids who whine too much, and they'd never see their parents again.
Oh, see? Dang.
Well, Rachel had another whiny thing.
Yeah.
She'd tell them the workers take whiny kids back to the back to make them work because they don't like whiny kids at this store. So if they're whining in a store, they're going to take the whiny kids in the back, and you have to work. And I can usually find an employee nearby who will agree to keep the story going.
Wow.
See, Kelly, you had a funny white lie that you would tell your daughter To get her to eat broccoli.
Broccoli, yeah. I'm telling you, children's books ruin things.
Yeah, they do. And Disney
shows. Kelly loved broccoli. Loved it. And then suddenly she read in a book, one of these Alice the Fairy books, where broccoli is poison and should never be eaten under any circumstance.
What?
I'm like,
why are they putting that agenda out there?
Would you do that? Because, you know, it's hard enough to get kids to eat healthy. She used to love it.
Yeah.
And so I told her that if she ate her broccoli, her boobies would grow. And it worked. But then I had mothers, when I said this on the radio, mothers called me and said, thanks a lot. Now my son won't eat his broccoli.
It only works on girls, guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's only for the ladies.
Tell them to make something else grow.
Broccoli makes your muscles grow.
There you go.
If you're a boy.
And here's something I want to say real quickly, because I want to, because I've heard parents do this and I have done it myself and I've stopped doing
it.
Yeah. I just showed my boobie.
Thank you,
Shannon. And I'm not going to call her out, because she tells her children that cops are coming for him and he better straighten up or they'll take him to jail.
Oh.
I don't.
It makes them be scared of cops.
You need to stop doing that.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Don't, when you walk by, if your kid's acting up at the store and there's a security guard, don't say, look, there's the officer. If you don't straighten up, because that makes the cop the bad guy and the scary person. Don't do that.
I feel bad for cops, because firefighters are always a good guy. And then the cops end up being the bad
guys that are going to take you to jail. Don't start that early. I mean,
unless
your kid's stealing something. I've done it a couple times. I was like, I need to not do that, because if she's ever in trouble and she's going to think the bad cop, So that's just my little piece of advice for today.
Come up
with something else.
Let's go to the phones. Okay. Lies you tell your children to get them to behave. Jessica, what do you do?
When we are in the grocery store, I will tell them that if they're not behaving, I'm going to buy them the pickled pig's feet and give it to them for dinner.
Sure. Can you invite Jerry Raspberry over for supper that night? Yeah, he would love that.
And
that was a delicacy in the Raspberry household.
Yeah,
and the Mac house.
They're that scared of pig's feet, Jessica?
It's just gross.
They're just gross. It doesn't work really anymore now that they're older, but the youngest one still kind of believes me. But we walked by it one day and I was like, I'm going to buy those. Those are pickled pig feet. And they were like, oh my God, no, Mom, I'm sorry. So, yeah, they don't like it.
It could also work with chitlins. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Just boil some, just like.
Why would you want to stink up your house?
What is a chitlin?
What chitlins are.
A chitlin is it's like pig intestine.
Oh.
And you have to wash them out really, really good.
Yikes.
And then you boil them, and then some people just eat them boiled. Some people fry them after that.
But right.
Chitlins, no.
Caitlin, what weird thing do you tell your kids to get them to behave?
I know this is going to sound really weird, but all I have to do to tell my daughter, who's 4, is if you don't stop it, I'm going to call Cody. And Cody is like her biological dad, but she doesn't even know him. Like, she's met him a few times, and she's horrified of him.
Oh,
and sometimes I don't even have to, like, say his name. I just have to do, like, the sign for why, and she just stops completely.
Wow.
Like, I've tried. I'll put you on timeout.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, if you don't stop,
poor Cody.
Nothing works. But Cody, done.
Cody's the magic.
Bio dad works, hey.
All right. Maybe I don't have another kid.
Yeah.
Tell him you go call Cody.
I think that's one that only works on her, I think.
Wow.
You could call Cody.
Okay.
I'm going to try that on Kaysen today. I'm like, hey, I'm going to call Cody, Kaysen. Lies you tell your children to get them to behave. Angie, who do you call?
I actually used to tell my daughter that if she didn't, because she was potty training, so I would tell her if she wet in her pants again, I was going to call the pee-pee patrol. Well, it ended up that scared her so badly, she'd end up peeing more in her pants and, like, hiding it. She's 22 now, and she's still scarred for life with that, because she... Her whole life, she would not tinkle. She would, like, hold it till she busted.
Oh.
I mean, she is still scarred to death, and she's 22.
Oh, my.
Oh.
So she's not scared of the police. She just does not like pee-pee patrol. She's like, you're horrible. I will never tell my child something like that. I'm like, wait till you're a mom.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something gross?
Yeah.
A lot of girls do hold it and
mm-hmm.
can have problems. And my mother, I used to hold it because you don't want to miss anything.
Right.
This is gross. I shouldn't.
It's okay. Now we're intrigued.
Yeah, I've prefaced it. This is really gross.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, don't eat.
Fine.
Stop eating. Go ahead and swallow.
Here's a gross story from Kelly Raspberry.
Because I used to always hold it.
Okay.
To the point where I would have a couple of accidents. So my mother finally told me that if I kept holding my pee, that I would have to go in and have surgery because the doctor would have to scrape the pee off my bladder. And I never held it again. Because she
yuck! Yuck!
I told you.
Oh, man.
But I stopped holding it. Holding it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just tell you something simple like Cody's going to get you.
Yeah. Scrape it off. Scrape it off.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
We've moved on over to the Canal Side Lounge. We have guests. Their debut single, Me and My Broken Heart, charted internationally, everybody.
Whoa.
Rixton is in the house.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hello.
So exciting.
Hello,
because the last time they were here, you're the only one that got to meet them. We were on vacation or something and you came in.
We were on vacation and they told me Rixton was coming in and I happened to like their videos. So I decided, yeah, I'll take a stab at them by myself.
All right.
How did it go?
We had so much fun.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, remember?
Great. We talked about Kanye West.
We did talk about Kanye. Yeah. See?
You made an impression on Rixton.
You remember me?
I remember everyone.
That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was strange.
Very
yeah.
smooth.
That's
great,
Jake
great
right
radio,
there.
That's sure.
Jake on lead. We also have Danny on the keyboards.
Hello.
Danny, Charlie. Not Donnie. Danny.
Charlie is on the guitar.
Hello.
And my dude Louie over there on the box.
On the box.
Louie has a nipple incident, guys.
Huh?
So
what?
Please
oh,
wow. be.
Oh, we're getting right
into it. I
told
you that confidentiality and everything.
Well, don't touch Louie's chest because his nipple hurts right now.
Thank Why you. Does your nipple? You have a nipple ache?
No, I re-pierced my nipple yesterday. So
you re-pierced it.
Yeah.
So you let it close up and decided you missed it and wanted it pierced again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who pierced it for you? Was it just you? No,
I did it.
You did it by yourself?
Yeah.
You did it?
You're such a rock star.
Don't do that at home, kids.
He's like one of the oldest men you've ever met.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, depends what's the circumstances.
How bad does it hurt? We had a show bet going for a while that if the loser was going to have to do it. Fortunately, no one had to. But everyone said that the second one hurts more than the first.
It hurts every time.
It does.
Do you have a nose ring? I can't see from here. It looks like you have a nose ring too. Did you,
yeah,
did you do that yourself?
No, I got that one done by someone who's sensible.
Is Louis the only one pierced? Jake, do you have any piercings?
Yeah, I can't talk about mine.
Oh really?
No, I'm joking. No, I've just got my ear pierced.
Just the ears?
I did that when I was a wee lad.
Yeah. A wee lad.
Oh, he was a wee lad.
Yeah.
Wee.
Yeah. Notice you got an ankle tattoo. What here does we that go. Say?
I was checking you out.
You do?
Well, I'll check out your ankle.
He's actually checking out your shoes. I was a shoe man, so that led to the discovery on your ankle.
Yeah.
Well, we were in Birmingham, Alabama, and we played a show, a little acoustic set. Okay. And then we just saw a tattoo parlor, like, when we come off stage, and we were like, oh, let's go get tattoos.
In Alabama?
Yeah.
I mean, that was your first? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you might want to do that, like, in L.A., maybe.
Yeah,
what's
I know.
Wrong? What's wrong with Alabama
yeah,
tattoos?
Yeah, what's wrong with Alabama, mate?
It's a good place.
I'm sure they had excellent tattoo.
It was very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it have significance?
Not even slightly. No.
What does it say?
It says Bose, BOUS.
Doesn't mean anything.
Did you misspell something?
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, it's our tour manager. It's kind of like Boss, but Bose. But our tour manager's from Philly, and he says it all the time, like Bose. and we actually all got the Broken Heart logo for Me and My Broken Heart, which we all got together in Alabama. But then our tour manager wasn't going to get it. And I said, well, if I get Bose tattooed on my ankle, you've got to get the Broken Heart. So we did it. And I regret it ever since.
Now, you guys are going to perform your hit, Me and My Broken Heart, but that's coming up because we want you to play your new single.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's called Hotel Ceiling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who wrote it and whose room were you in?
Well, we wrote it with Ed Sheeran. It's a song we did with Ed, and it kind of just come about. He was in the studio with Benny, our producer, and he just had this idea for us. So we came in and finished it. But it's kind of like it's a very sad song. It's very dark, sad, miserable, horrible, which is perfect for the morning. So yeah, it's great.
Kelly used to lay on her bed and stare at the ceiling fan.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how you need to depress. You lay in your bed and you stare at the ceiling fan.
The oscillating one, the one that goes around.
Like the one, yeah. I just would.
Kelly, would you drink everything in sight this evening?
I could.
That's a lyric.
Oh. I could do that.
Would you guys please play that song for us?
Yes, of course.
All right.
I can see it coming round for circle, my friend. On the TV, they said they had reported you dead. It was far, 'cause I could have sworn that you said it was easy to find another for your bed, yeah. Oh, and how does it feel to leave me this way, when all that you have's been lost in a day? And everyone knows, but not what to say. I've been wondering, now I've been staring at the hotel ceiling, drinking everything I found this evening. I'm trying to hold on to the sweetest feeling, so I'll never let you go. Don't you leave me, only start to see this. Everyone I know cannot believe this. I'm trying to hold on to the sweetest feeling, so I'll never let you go. Don't you leave me lonely now. When my eyes open, morning pulls me into the view. No, I guess I'm only acting in the way that you do. Just being alone, no. Only time tells me more than I hope. All that I know is, oh, I'll be fine in a fortnight alone. And behold, I knew I should have let you go home. See, I've been staring at the hotel ceiling, drinking everything I found this evening. I'm trying to hold on to the sweetest feeling, so I'll never let you go. Don't you leave me lonely, start to see this. Everyone I know cannot believe this. I'm trying to hold on to the sweetest feeling, so I'll never let you go home. Don't you leave me lonely now. I can see it coming round full circle, my friend. TV, they said they had reported you dead.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was Rixton with their new song, Hotel Ceiling. All right, now you guys said you wrote that song with Ed Sheeran. How did you guys go about putting that song together?
Well, the song was originally called Leave Me Lonely. And then it wasn't until like we started, for some reason, we started singing Hotel Ceiling, and that just kind of stuck. But yeah, it was kind of just free for all, really, just kind of chiming in, and it just came around. So yeah.
I mean, it's coming from the guy who wrote the A Team, so, and you're thinking he's going to rap about Mr. T, and then no, it's about a prostitute.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that was one of those.
My man.
But who's the biggest ladies' man in the group?
Oh, definitely me. I think no, it's not. Right. No, I'd probably
so humble.
I'd say it's a toss up between these two over
me?
Here. Yeah.
Why am I the?
Don't be all
Charlie
shy
looks like
and
innocent.
Coy.
Charlie.
Well, I don't do anything.
No. Yeah, they love like when we start our show, there's like this big intro, and then a light kind of hits Louis at the back, and he's there with his sleeves out, and girls just go nuts.
They're only human.
You dig that, don't you, Louis?
They are only human.
It's not bad. It's
he takes Louis full advantage.
What?
That's okay, Kelly. You can like Louis. You can touch him. It's okay.
Can I touch you later,
you
Louis?
Thank you.
Thank
you. Touch me anytime.
See, at least I asked for permission.
It's okay.
Consent is important.
Will you guys play Me and My Broken Heart for
it
us,
would
please?
It be an honor. Yes.
The hits.
All I need is a little love in my life. All I need is a little love in the dark. A little, but I'm hoping it might kickstart me and my broken heart. I need a little loving tonight, homie, so I'm not falling apart. A little, but I'm hoping it might kickstart. Me and my broken heart. Let's go! Shotgun aimed at my heart, you got one. Tear me apart in this song. How do we call this love? Go!
Whoa, oh, oh. I try to run away, but your eyes tell me to stay. Oh, why? Why do we call this love? Whoa, oh, oh. It seems like we've been losing control, baby. Somebody tell me I'm not alone when I say. You just haze me. See you pick me up and play me. How do we call this love? Oh, oh, oh. One time, tell me you need me tonight. To make it easy, you lie and say it's all for love. Oh, oh, oh. It seems like we've been losing control. Me and my broken heart, I need a little love tonight. Hope it's all not falling apart. A little bit of hoping it might kick start. Me and my broken heart. Oh, oh, oh. Me and my broken heart. Whoa, whoa. Me and my broken.
Play it, Donnie. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Let's give it up for Rickston, everyone. It's cool watching you guys, just knowing that one day you guys are going to be playing big stadiums and we're not going to get to relive this again.
You know, I mean, they're going to be too big to come back and see us.
It's just so cool. And I wish that for you guys.
It was
you guys
really
so
great meeting you guys for the last time.
Thank you.
Because you guys are going to blow up and
we'll
forget about
back.
Us.
Justin Bieber played right here and now he won't take our phone calls.
He won't take ours.
You won't forget about us. Now, never. We like to do this with our international acts that come in. This is where you get to do your American accent.
This is
you get to pick, you get to pick any region in the United States. Introduce yourself with your name and say what town and city you're from.
Let me think. Wait. I can't do it.
Well,
Here we go. Focus. But I always go to Valley Girl.
That's good. Yeah. That's
fine. California.
You do a good New York, like New York, Jersey.
Yo, so my name's Jake. No, awful. I'm from New York City. No, that's terrible. I'll just stick to Valley Girl. Hey. that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, Jake.
Your Valley Girl's great.
All right.
Oh my god, you're Sarah? It's the kind of Sarah.
Oh,
see that?
Oh wow.
Very good.
Yeah, but I like your weatherman impression.
Oh, right. You do your weatherman.
Come on now. Your news reporter is great.
Yeah, do your news reporter.
Come on, Donnie.
Oh hey, welcome back guys. My name is Danny. This is 9 o'clock news. Sorry,
dude! That is
dude,
so good.
You want a job?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, we're hiring for house spot.
Dude, hey, we do traffic on the 8s around here.
Yeah,
dude.
We do.
Come on.
All right, Louie, what you got, buddy?
I'm not following that. Are you kidding? I can barely speak English.
Do your, would you like a pizza?
Why would I? Because
it's incredible.
It is incredible.
Oh. Would you like a pizza? It's terrible. It's Australian or something.
So, would you like a pizza, sauce. Mate?
Oh my God! It's so good seeing you guys again. We wish you the best of luck with Ariana Grande and with Ed Sheeran when you go on tour with them. Make sure you pick up their new single "Hotel Ceiling" and follow them at Rickston Official. Don't just follow at Rickston; that's a fake.
That'd be some Rickston random man.
Official. Yeah. Everybody, give it up for Rickston.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
thank
so
guys.
Much for having us.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show.
And right now, for a lot of us, it's wedding season.
Yeah. Well, JC, you've been down this path before getting married.
Yeah.
Al has, but I don't think he probably... Were you really in the invite planning the,
no,
who you're going to invite,
you know,
who
what
you
I
have
was,
to cut?
I was in charge of limousines. That's what I was in charge of. I was the limousine service at the time.
Coming up with the guest list is really stressful for a lot of brides. I don't know if the grooms care a lot, but you've got the in-laws like, well, you have to invite these people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this set of parents says this, that, and, you know, you can't invite them because I used to date them. It gets really stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to make some cuts to get your guest list down. Maybe it's a money issue
or
whatever.
I had to do that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this bride-to-be decided before she sent out the wedding invitations to post a status update on her Facebook explaining why you may or may not get an invitation to her wedding.
On Facebook.
I have a feeling she had reached a breaking point, that she's probably hearing all this stuff from who I have to invite.
Yeah.
And it's my wedding! That kind of thing moment. So she vented a little, some may say passive-aggressively, some may say flat-out aggressively, on her Facebook status update.
And you have that status?
I do.
Yes.
Come on.
And somebody ended up finding it, putting it on Reddit, so now the whole world can see it. Okay, names blocked out to protect the innocent.
Mm-hmm.
We are sending out invites for the wedding this week. Going through the list of people to invite, we have only so much room at the church and reception. I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible so no one gets butthurt.
Butthurt.
Now, by the fact she said butthurt.
She's young.
No, she's over it.
She's mad. She's mad.
I love the word.
There's a way you can say, I know there's going to be some people who might be hurt, but I just want you to explain to you where I'm coming from because
when you say,
I hate hurting people's feelings. When you say, I don't want you to get butthurt,
butthurt
this
means
is on
done.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's over
yeah,
it.
I'm butthurt.
She said, if you do not get an invite, here is a list of potential reasons why. Number one, if I have invited you every time we have a group function and you never show up.
Oh,
number two,
very valid.
That's good.
If you're just a work acquaintance and I've never hung out with you outside of work.
That's very valid.
Number three.
I'm with her.
If I show up to things you invite me to and you never show up to our invites or even respond.
Yeah. I like that too.
Number four. If I have only hung out with you in a group setting and we're not that close of friends.
Hey, I love it.
Number five. If at any point you have ever talked blank about me or my fiance, you are definitely not invited.
You wouldn't invite anybody.
Perfect. Okay.
Number six.
Yep.
If you're only going to show up for food and alcohol and you really have no interest other than that.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Number seven, if you got married and I thought we were friends and you didn't invite me.
Ooh.
So now it's payback.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it says, if you don't get an invite or you're planning on coming, let me or blank, blank, blank. And then it goes off from there.
I like that. Those are very valid reasons. Yeah.
She's getting a little heat for it. But I understand it's extremely stressful. And I mean, I was the person, and I'm still that person. I would rather, if I'm going to do a party or a dinner or anything, I'll either invite only one or two people or I invite everybody because I don't want anybody's feelings to be hurt. And I did the same thing for my wedding. I couldn't afford a big sit-down dinner because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So I invited 400 people and had finger foods because I'd rather do that and invite everyone. And then how mortified I was, you know, months later to find out, oh, I forgot to invite that person.
Yeah.
I was horrified and embarrassed.
Here's the thing.
When you go on the radio and you say, I invited everybody.
Here's the thing you have to deal with, because you're going to say this to yourself when you're writing out these invitations. You're going to say, well, if I invite this person, I got to invite this person because either they know each other for whatever reason.
Here's the thing.
You don't have to. Well, I know that's true. But sometimes you can say, well, I've only known this person for 3 months, but I'm kind of close to them, so I got to invite them. But I've known this person 4 years, and I don't see them that much. So, you know, I don't know. It's just all this mental stuff that you deal with trying to reconcile who's the closer friend.
And I know it's a money issue, but this is just speaking for me when I was a bride a long time ago.
Yeah.
I would never invite someone and expect them to come alone.
You do a plus one always.
Even if I knew they weren't in a relationship, because showing up, sometimes you don't know a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you have to show up. And I've been that one person at a wedding before to a family I really knew pretty well. And I showed up, but they're all about family that day. And I was by myself. It was awkward. It was college age kids and I was older than them. And, you know, it was just weird. And if you can't afford to include a plus one, then change your menu or something, because I've said no now to weddings if I'm invited without being included with bringing a guest. And it's not being a bitchy thing. It's just I don't want to show up by myself and end up having to try to mingle with people I don't know.
And you as a person, if you get a plus one and you're single, you know what kind of person to bring to this wedding.
Yeah, bring a normal person, not some idiot.
Not a party animal.
This is on the guest too, but I don't know. I'm not down with the inviting single people. Yeah. Well, you're not in a relationship, so you don't need to bring a guest. Well, maybe I need somebody there to just talk to and hang out with.
That's true.
The
only problem I have with that, because that post, she basically said what we all think when we're inviting somebody to a party or a wedding. We all think that, you know. But when you put it on Facebook, all those people that don't get invited now know exactly how you feel about them. Now they know.
Well, it's like if I were, I invited everybody in the office when I got married. But, I mean, that's kind of okay.
Do you invite?
I don't really know you outside of work, but it's... It's a sticky situation. It's very sticky.
From work, is the boss a for sure you got to invite them person? The boss?
I did, but I don't know the rules on that.
If you got married right now, say if you wanted to have a 100-person wedding, and you invited a majority of the people here, obviously you would invite us, I would assume. But say one of the girls that works back in the back, like works on the show, but you probably don't say more than hi and bye.
Give me the name of somebody in the back that she would invite out.
Amy.
Wow.
I'm just saying. I know Amy. So I'm just saying.
Why are you putting me on the spot?
You're not even getting married. You're not getting married.
You're saying if I was, I would rather have a cheaper wedding and invite everybody so nobody's feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
That's me.
And I'm different because I don't know. I don't get offended if I'm not. I mean, there's been some college girlfriends' weddings that we've grown apart and I haven't been invited to. Great. I don't have to spend the money.
Still in contact with them, but if you're seeing them in the office every day, it's kind of awkward.
Right.
Well, I invited everybody but you. It's just weird.
I mean, I'd be upset if one of you guys didn't invite me, you know, but if it was someone else and I wasn't invited to the wedding, I don't think, because we're not really like a lot of us aren't social friends. So right. I don't know. My feelings don't get hurt over stuff like that because it's your money you're spending.
It is.
You have so much going on.
And here's the thing. If it's between a guy and a girl that you're going to invite at work, invite the girl because the guy couldn't care less.
The guy
care less.
He didn't want to come anyway. It's a relief.
He may thank you for not inviting
him. Exactly. It's a relief when you don't invite the dude.
So there you
I'm
go.
Just telling you.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
We have our new street dude in studio with us right now.
Street dude, what's up?
Dude.
His name is Philip with two L's because one L
sucks.
Al, tell us who Philip is.
Well, Philip called in one day, and we just kind of liked Philip. We were just doing some type of random phone topic, and Philip called in. He had a good energy about him, and we decided to bring him in to talk to him in person, and now he's doing street bits.
We hired Philip based off of a phone call.
Yeah, we did. How do you feel about that, Philip?
I felt amazing, just like I feel every day.
Philip was telling us he was going through a rough patch, and he got over that. He was working, and he was smiling, and we finish our sentences with a period. Philip finishes with a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. And we like that about you,
Philip. I gotta start trying that.
You should, Jenna. Go ahead, try it, Jenna. Tell us a sentence and then finish it with a laugh.
You guys remember that time I got dumped?
Oh, wow.
See, endorphins releases more endorphins than other brains. I keep trying to say it.
I just sounded like a crazy cat lady.
That is awesome, Jenna.
Okay, all right.
So, I mean, you're hitting 30, you kind of are going on crazy cat lady by now. I mean, no BF, right?
And you just feel like I'm probably not fertile and no one wants to date me.
See, it works. I keep telling them.
We should all try. We should try the Philip treatment. Now, Philip, we sent you out on the streets.
Yes, we did. And this time I brought a megaphone with me, you know?
So what was the premise of you with the megaphone?
The premise, okay, you're going to have to define premise because a simple thing like me definitely.
Don't worry, I got you, Philip. Philip was going out on the streets with, Philip went on the streets with a megaphone, and the premise is, Jenna.
I need to Google it.
He was asking people.
A premise is.
The goal of the bit. What was the point of the bit?
Let me tell you. He was trying to get people to reveal their deepest, darkest secrets while on the megaphone in front of a bunch of strangers. Now, Philip, while we were editing your street bit, we noticed that you have a unique style when it comes to approaching people.
Hmm. Yes, and actually during all this audio, I also had a hoarse voice, so that just added to it so much more.
Let's take a listen at Philip's unique style of approaching.
All right.
Hey, Mr. Homie Skater, bro. Can you do me a favor and talk into my iPhone for a couple of seconds?
Why?
Hey, Mr. Too Tall, can I ever talk to you really quick, dude? Hey, Mr. Walter White Loving Man. Hey, Mr. Cook Apron Wearing Person, you're on a smoke break, can I talk to you? Hey, Mr. Military Mac. Hey, Mr. Camo Wearing Country Dude, can I talk to you for a second, sir?
Yeah, I guess.
That guy looks like Kevin Bacon. Hey, Kevin Bacon, bro. Hey, yo, Kevin Bacon, dude.
What's up, man?
Do you want to be on the radio? Because you kind of look like you got a famous face, man.
What do you mean on the radio?
It's like, has anybody ever said you look like Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I actually get that a lot.
Oh, wow. Fella. Hey, now, hey. Simpleton, oh, I mean boy. No harm, okay? Oh, everyone has stereotypes.
Oh, hey, you! Kevin Bacon!
I like that. I like you just describe them with your words as you're approaching.
Right. I ain't got no GoPro, so I gotta somehow let the viewers know.
That's very true. That's very true.
All right. Well, we do have actual audio of Philip getting people to reveal their deepest, darkest secrets.
Okay.
My name is Caleb, and I have a third nipple.
Oh my God! Dude, I'm sorry.
Wait a second, Philip. So now you're gonna ridicule them after they reveal their deepest, darkest secrets.
So yeah. Philip gets them to reveal their deep, dark secrets, and then laughs at them.
You can't do that.
It's supposed to be a trust tree.
I discussed with them a little bit, but me laughing at him maybe it's more comical than me. Discussing it with him.
Yeah, it makes
I think it's more.
I mean, talking about a third nipple gets a little awkward. I mean, if it has a hair or not, if he needs a special kind of treatment for it. I don't know.
JC's wife has a third nipple.
She does.
Oh,
she has a
cool.
full-on third nipple. It's like
so. It's
more breast milk for the children.
Exactly. All right, here we go.
My name is Caleb, and I have a third nipple.
Oh my God, dude, I'm sorry.
My deepest, darkest secret is I wax my legs and butt cheeks every night.
No way! You wax your butt cheeks,
bro,
dude.
I do, man. I got. To.
Are you a swimmer? Is it for running?
No, man. You just gotta keep it clean down there.
So you literally just do it for manscaping? Yeah. I mean, I tweeze my eyebrows, but I don't go to that extent.
My deepest, darkest secret is that I got caught singing Beyonce's "Single Ladies," and afterwards, I mastered the dance for it. My deepest, darkest secret is that I actually totally peed my pants in my sleep until I was like 13. Late at night, I like to walk around in my girlfriend's lingerie when I'm bored.
What?
My deepest, darkest secret is...
What was that, Philip?
That's me just losing it on this guy because I honestly didn't believe that he wore his... who wears a girlfriend's lingerie, honestly? Like, I never can even fathom doing that. Okay, I may get my eyebrows tweezed. I may watch any Nicholas Sparks movie that's... or a book it turns into a movie. Yeah. I will cuddle with a chick and be the little spoon. I don't care. I'm a manly man. I'm comfortable with my sexuality. But I am never in my life gonna put women's apparel on and walk around. Like, no, that's just not right.
Well, that's not your secret. It's his.
I don't even like wearing women's apparel.
Yeah, he was asking me what it was, and I was like, that was just my laugh because that fool is just another walk of life, man.
Come on,
let's continue.
My deepest, darkest secret is when I was 14, I got kissing the mayor from my mom. She made me go outside and take a switch. My deepest, darkest secret is I once drunk my baby's breast milk on accident.
What? How did that happen?
I woke up one night, man, I was thirsty. And I went in the fridge, and I thought it was milk.
And you just chug it, you shake down.
Yep.
Did you have some cookies on the side waiting too?
No, man.
My name is Caleb, and all of my favorite movies are Disney movies.
Same here. I'm 100% on you with that, dude. I love Treasure Planet. I love WALL-E. I love Atlantis. Atlantis is amazing. Yes.
My favorite is Aladdin.
My deepest, darkest secret is I collect my toenails in a jar.
Oh my God, dude, that's so disgusting. Why do you collect your toenails in a jar, bro? What?
It's just, I've been meaning to get rid of them.
You've been meaning to get rid of your toenails? There you go.
Yeah, we've got to string all of those laughs together.
Yeah.
That would make my day.
That's perfect. Oh, man. So when we say things that aren't funny, we can just play that.
Yeah, we just need the Philip laugh.
Now, tell a joke.
What, huh?
Tell us a joke.
Yeah, say something funny.
Mississippi!
That's not a joke.
I need that.
Oh my gosh, just one word. He just yelled at us.
Now, we did pull one of the interviews aside because Philip met a brother on the street.
Shout out. Okay,
yes,
all right.
And his voice changed a little.
My name is Bruce, you know what I mean? Bruce Smith. I'm from Dallas, Texas originally.
Bruce Smith from Dallas, Texas. I like your shades, bro. What are they called?
I don't even know.
I'm going to call them sideways shutter shades because that's what, bro, that'll shake.
That'll work.
I'm liking swag on deck, you know, denim, blue. I'm liking it. Looking more crispy than the other brothers out here. So much respect to your swag.
What?
Hello, my name is Bruce Smith.
Talk closer.
And my most embarrassing moment is losing the fifth grade spelling bee.
How'd you lose? Can't wait for that. How'd you lose the fifth grade spelling bee?
I lost the spelling bee by misspelling one of the easiest words in the universe, which is erasable.
Al?
Wait.
Spell erasable.
Erasable?
Mm-hmm.
E-R-A-S. E-R-A-S-A-B-L-E. No E.
What's your final answer?
E-R-A-S-A-B-L-E. No, I'm erasing the E. The second E.
You're saying there's no second E? E-R-A-S?
That doesn't look right.
Spell
in my head.
E-R-A-S?
The brothers, Al. You're really not.
You can't write it down. That's not how you do it in the spelling bee.
E-R-A-S.
Yeah, that's what those little dorks do. They write on the back of the board.
That doesn't look right at all with the E.
So your final answer?
Final answer?
No second E.
You're right.
All right. Good job, Al.
All right.
Attaboy.
Okay.
How'd you spell it?
I spelled it. I neglected to add the E. It's E-R-A-S-E-A-B-L-E. And I left that damn middle E out.
Bro, you just brain farted it straight up. It's straight. I do it all the time.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is I was swagging and, you know what I mean?
You were shining in the light. You had said all these big words. All these people looking at you like, dang, he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And then Erasable comes up.
Erasable knocked me out the game. So
damn, bro.
It was kind of embarrassing, but
hey, we recovered though, you know, brothers. Like,
Philip, do you know how to use the megaphone?
I do know how to use a megaphone, but pedestrians don't.
You can Google that bad boy.
Cats like us land on the feet. It's all straight, you know, bro?
Yeah.
All right, well, I mean, people misspell my stuff all the time, like Philip with one L. It's two L's. Yeah, one L sucks.
Oh, that man should feel vindicated because he got it right.
He got it right.
Yeah, his teacher was wrong.
Yeah.
So there is not a
E-R-A-S-A-B-L-E. Google it.
Huh. He should go back to his fifth grade teacher.
Right. Well, Phil, he's been carrying that burden, that deep, dark secret his whole life.
I'm going to go ahead and commend you on your bit as well as your black people talking
that
skills.
That was well done, Philip. It was funny. It was entertaining.
I like how you approach people. I love how you ridicule them after they reveal their deepest, darkest secret.
We got a new sound bite.
You have to be like a chameleon when you're doing this kind of stuff. You know, you just adapt to that situation. Black people, going to black people mode. White people mode.
Cool. I'm definitely down on it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
That was easy.
I'll come through my own skin. I don't care. I ain't got none. I don't even know. We got to edit this.
What?
I don't have any.
We can't edit, Philip. We're live.
No, I don't have any pride. Make fun of me. Make fun of my swollenness, my sexiness, and how awesome I am. I have no problem with that.
All right, we'll be back.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Landon, I'm sick. I have leukemia.
No. You're 18. You're perfect.
No. I found out 2 years ago I've stopped responding to treatments.
I lost you once. I think I could do it again if I thought it's what you really wanted. But don't you take the easy way out.
What easy way? There is no easy way. No matter what I do, somebody gets hurt.
Would you stop thinking about what everyone wants? Stop thinking about what I want, what he wants, what your parents want. What do you want?
You need to make him understand that his writing days are over.
I know how hard it must be to give up that whole part of your life. You're kidding, right? You have to quit. You have to.
I can't. This is what I do. What if I never even
see you because we're both gonna stay? This is what I do. That is a clip from The Longest Ride, which is in theaters next Friday. Now, we're waiting on Scott Eastwood, Britt Robertson, and Nicholas Sparks.
We've got people.
We got people.
Hi. They're walking in. Hi.
Hi. I know. We're just throwing you right in because you walked in. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
Hey, Britt.
Hug
Kelly.
It out, brother.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Britt.
Hi, Britt.
Thank
Jenna.
You.
Hi.
We get to do our introductions while we're on the air.
I'll give you the play-by-play. They just walked in.
Oh, I just got a cheek kiss from Mr. Nicholas Sparks.
Have a seat, you guys. Speaking of The Longest Ride, everybody's talking about the shower scene, Scott.
Was there riding involved?
Huh? In the shower?
You said The Longest Ride.
Yeah. Well, the shower scenes are what people seem to be talking about. Yeah,
there it's a double meaning.
There was an extended... Were you guys in the shower for days? I wasn't sure, but that's a little overrated that long. You get all wrinkly. Yeah.
How do you get ready for a shower scene? You
get naked first, and then you jump in the shower. They turn the water on, and what did we just start making out? That was pretty much it.
Sounds real romantic.
Yeah, it's very romantic.
Acting is so awkward, isn't it?
Absolutely. Scott didn't find it too awkward.
I like taking showers with beautiful women.
Yeah, and they pay you on top of that. Golly.
Like, what do you do when you're just sitting in between takes? Is the shower still running?
Concerned about the water.
He wants
I
want to
make sure, you know.
I don't know what body wash we use. I'll get back to you on that.
Cucumber melon is the best.
I prefer mango.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think after the shower, I remember during in between takes, and then after we finished the scene, I think they brought in like an extra water bucket just so we could have warm water because it was pretty cold throughout. And
I'm sorry, Scott.
Cold.
Should we be saying sorry
shower?
For me?
You got to hook Scott up with some like Speedos or something. Come on, Nicholas.
No, as a producer, we're tough. We're like, we need this to look real and legit.
Scott, everybody can see your.
They show it. They show it. Show it. It's PG-13.
I never referred to it as my Eastwood. But I think I might steal that.
Yeah.
Silence.
Yeah. Speaking of special talent.
Oh boy.
Britt, I know you're getting this a lot because you threw it out there.
Scott threw it out there. He threw me under the bus, is what happened.
I don't know. What's Britt's secret talent, Scott?
Well, she can rap.
Now, is it freestyle or do you just rap like Nicki Minaj and Iggy Azalea lyrics, or do you do your own thing?
I do my own raps, but it's not freestyle. I cannot freestyle. I'm not that good. But I write my own raps and stuff, and I do it for like, but only you know people I love. Not that I don't love you guys, because we've become quite close in this last 10 minutes. Let me tell you. But you know, like for family and friends, birthdays, holidays. It's
It's awkward to freestyle.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I come up with words that don't exist. People don't know what I'm talking about. It's just not a good idea with freestyle.
Well, Al happens to be a very good freestyler.
Al is not a freestyler. Let the black fool you.
Britt, if you drop a beat for Al, he will freestyle
no,
for you.
No, don't do that.
This our audience.
He breaks all black stereotypes.
Years and years of disappointment with me.
Oh, that's so sad.
I disappoint black people on a daily basis. I really do.
Who's your favorite rapper?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I mean, there's Kid Cudi. I think Kid Cudi, like, from back in the, like, 90s, you know? That was, like, my jam.
It's Kid Cudi.
Who else? I love Nicki Minaj's new album. I rock out to that all the time. When we were shooting, it was Iggy Azalea. So I try to switch it up, you know?
Now, Scott, do you have a favorite act out there right now? Who do you listen to the most?
Who do I listen to? You know, I'm kind of a classic guy. I like bands like the Eagles.
Old school stuff.
Yeah. And, my musical taste sort of is all over the board. I like soul and funk and blues. And then I like everything to pop culture stuff. You know,
Taylor Swift in the car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Shame in that.
One Direction. Get down a little One Direction.
Yeah, get down with it all. Sure.
Is your dad in your favorite movie of all time? Like, I wanted to ask what your favorite Clint Eastwood movie was.
Yeah,
he's
in my top three. He's in my top three. He's made the top three list.
What are the top three?
What is your favorite?
Top three all-time movies.
Do not
for me.
Say Citizen Kane.
That's a terrible movie.
Braveheart.
Oh, yes.
Dad wasn't in that.
Yep. Unforgiven.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And Forrest Gump.
Okay.
How do you feel about that, Nicholas Sparks?
I think that's a great list.
What's your favorite? What's your all-time list? Since you create some of the best movies out there.
Let's see.
You can name your own, by the way, if you want.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to go with something that did a really good job. It was a trilogy. I'm going to do the Toy Story trilogy.
I know, and they're getting ready to come out with the fourth
one.
What?
Did you cry in Toy Story 3, Nicholas Sparks?
Yes, last time I cried in a movie.
It was scary.
Yeah.
We were sobbing.
I mean, I know. It was just the first time it came out, Toy Story. It was the first movie that my oldest son was able to watch and kind of watch and see and understand what's going on the screen. And then Toy Story 3 comes out and Andy's leaving and my son's heading off to college.
Wrong
time.
I'm telling you.
Wrong
time.
It was rough.
Personal connection.
Here's a tip. You're going to New York, I think you said, next week. I don't know if the three of you are going.
Those
we
two.
Are.
Stay away from Times Square. Some of the characters are out there in Times Square.
Scary and dirty.
And they are scary and stinky.
What?
Yeah.
Woody
dressed
thank
up.
You.
Like Hollywood Boulevard, similar situation.
Yeah.
Exactly. Costume.
Okay. But even scarier.
Oh, my God.
Now, Nicholas, I'm not going to dig too much in your personal life, but all the books you've written, you've been married, right? And so now you're separated. And are you working on a new novel? Is that going to affect your storytelling, do you think, from this point on?
I am working on two novels. And like I said, just wrapped on a film. We have another film starting. So, no. I mean,
you don't use your personal stories, or is it really just completely outside of yourself when you're writing?
I think that in the end, I don't even know where writing comes from, to be quite frank. You know, I sit there and I I don't know. I mean, it's I wish I understood the process better than I do. It's a question that everyone wants to know. I don't.
How do you do what you do and you can't explain
it? Yeah, I can't explain it.
Where does
right?
your affinity for love letters come from? Because that seems to be kind of a prevailing thing in a lot of
Yeah, I love I love to receive a letter and I love to write a letter. And so
oh, I bet you write the best love letters.
I yeah. do. I do.
In fact,
those original letters in the notebook were taken in part from letters that I'd written to my wife.
I want you so bad right now.
This guy.
Have you ever written completely, like, have you just gone off just maybe for fun and done like a sci-fi or a war, brutal, ugly novel?
My first novel at 19 was a horror novel. Mm-hmm. So I did that and I've written some original scripts. I haven't offered them all. I've probably got a file of about 6 or 7 and none are love stories. So they're thriller, there's an adventure, there's a horror, and a supernatural.
Wow.
Cool. It's always been my dream to be, I'm not an actor, but to be in a, to die in a horror film. I want to be in a horror love Nicholas
Maybe
Sparks
movie.
Maybe
we can make it happen. The love horror story.
I like it. We got to wrap up. They got to go, but we got
to
do that.
Okay. You've spent enough time with us to get to know us,
yes,
Nicholas Sparks.
Yes.
And if you were to cast some actors in your next movie, and we're the
or
only...
Or any of your past movies.
Or in the past movies.
Yeah, that's better for us to relate
to. We're the last remaining people on Earth.
You have to use us.
So after you can't use Scott Eastwood anymore. There's right. no Britt
Been there,
Robertson.
Done that.
There's only a Big Al, a Jenna, a Kelly, and a JC. What would you cast
All right,
us
let's
in?
Go. I'm going to say Dear John. Right?
Mm. For JC. Ooh.
Oh, you could, yeah. Right?
Dear Channing.
John. Take the place of Channing Tatum.
Are you like going through puberty again right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
Man crush Monday, huh?
You made his
I love that movie. That he's comfortable with his man crushes yeah. at least. But.
And for you, I'm going to go with Knights and Rodanthe. I can see you looking into Richard Gere's eyes just right. And, you know.
Thank you.
I mean, I can see that.
Okay.
So based for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Jenna?
Make her that girl that dies in a wall to remember.
Mandy Moore?
I don't want to be Pale Mandy Moore. I don't want to be Pale Mandy Moore.
No, I think based on what we... I'm going to go ahead and say Safe Haven.
Okay.
Oh, right?
Nice. All right.
There's boyfriend. Yeah. You know, there's...
Bad boy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. And for you,
yes,
I'm going to go with the lucky one.
The lucky one.
Oh, the good Marine, all-American
yeah.
guy.
Do I save the
day? Marine! Al, you...
Do I save the day?
Officer and a gentleman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you saved.
You're a stud.
I've got no place else to go.
See?
I love it, right? I think that's it.
You were compared to Zac Efron right there, Al.
Yeah, dude. I mean, look, it's a...
He's like my favorite Zach.
I'm telling you, right? That's what I'd done. I think that would be good.
Well, Nicholas Sparks, thank you so much for casting us in your movies.
Yes,
you're welcome.
You.
It was a pleasure.
My check in the mail,
and thanks
though.
For casting Britt and Scott.
And Britt Robertson yes. and Scott Eastwood, thank you so much for coming in. We wish you guys the best of luck with The Longest Ride.
Thank you.
In theaters next Friday. Make sure you go watch it. That's how we wrapped the interview right there with that little sound.
How did y'all feel like that went? Yeah.
Was that pretty good?
Rate this. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You guys are doing this like every day. Rate our interview
Ooh.
Here,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. please.
Yeah.
Rate
your interviews.
How did we do?
You guys are great. I mean, I always want to judge
myself.
Yeah.
Nine?
I'll take a nine.
Yeah.
Nine.
We'll take a nine.
It was a good 8.5. Solid 8.5, 9.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've had some ones.
Oh, I bet. Ooh. Who was it?
Everybody give it up for Scott Britt and Nicholas Sparks.
Yeah.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.